Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com. Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool? Or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text CARPOOL to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock. On this Thursday afternoon, good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, with a tip of the cap to Bickley and Murata, who literally got it to us at straight up 2 o'clock. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what is going on, my friend?
Just...
I've been walking around singing this song that I heard at the Taylor Swift concert the other night. You ever hear this song called Havana? Havana?
Is it
this girl, Camila, sings it. It's like a catchy little tune. She's the warm-up act for Taylor Swift. And I find myself, I don't know, today, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to download that song on my Spotify. So I'm just walking around Havana, na 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 na. I actually kind of got a catchy tune. I can't get out of my head.
Until you walked in here playing it out of your little centimeter-long speakers from your iPhone, I had never heard the song before.
Me either.
Yeah. And
I had never heard it either. And I'm like, then I'm at the concert, and like, this is the warm-up act for Taylor Swift, and I'm listening, I'm like, yeah, this is good.
Oh, I've heard this song. Okay, do I have heard this song.
What do you think?
I think I'm not going to download it on my Spotify.
What?
I think if Jarrett Carlin continues to dance like that, I might download it on my Spotify. I think I might download Jarrett Carlin on my Spotify. Dancing. Well, you got some moves, man.
I'm telling you, this is a big hit right now.
Jarrett Carlin can dance.
This is a good tune.
Yeah, it's...
See, you got to get in with the hip and the hop.
I really
friend.
Do. I know. I'm
this
just
is
so...
what this is what's new and exciting in music right here.
Just so not
my
hip.
My heart is in Havana.
So not hop. Na-na-na-na-na. Also not going through a midlife crisis. Here's your top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo Show.
That's not
going
even fair.
Oh, it's totally fair.
Today's top
my
story.
My heart Burns is in Gambo. Havana.
Go deep. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ooh. Better parts, better prices. Ooh. Is not Gambo singing karaoke. It is, in fact, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who lost last night to the LA Dodgers 6-3, which in and of itself isn't that big
maybe
a deal.
Maybe their heart was in Havana.
Maybe they
so
maybe
didn't
was.
Play very well.
There
was some signs last night that weren't good. I mean, that was not a good baseball game. That was a stinker last night. That was a stinker.
What stunk about it to you?
Patrick Corbin's outing was really bad. They had opportunities to score runs. They didn't get it done. There was a lot of, they got Ahmed had the inside the park home run. That was nice. But I just thought bullpen was not good. Bullpen was bad. Starting pitching. Now, listen, I'll just say it like this. And I said this to you when we were mapping out the show today. If you did not watch the game and you looked at the box score for Patrick Corbin, you'd be like, oh, okay. Patrick Corbin was decent last night.
That five innings, three hits, one run allowed, walked four, struck out seven, still has an ERA of 2.12.
Now, if you
watch the game...
If you watch the game, you're like, he did not look good at all.
He labored last night.
He did not. Fourth inning, he lost the strike zone. I mean, let's just put it that way. He lost the strike zone. Now, fourth inning man gave up a single, a stolen base. He walked Kemp. He walked Grandal. Butcher had to come to the mound for a visit. He goes to 3-2 on Cody Bellinger. Strikes him out with a fastball that didn't even have any velocity. And then he throws a wild pitch and a run scores. Then the fifth inning, he goes 3-2 on Yasiel Puig. Gives up a single. Gives up a single to Farmer. He walks Turner on four pitches. Now he got out of these jams without a lot of damage, but man, he didn't pitch well. That's the first time you're like, okay, that didn't look very good. No, maybe it's just one start and you just write it off. He just didn't have a good start, didn't feel good, whatever it was. But that was the Patrick Corbin start where I just was like, okay, I'm not. That wasn't a good start. He did not pitch well.
And there were a couple things at play with. And first of all, don't mistake. We're having a conversation about it. This is not a panic-laden conversation about it. This is just a conversation that we're having about Patrick Corbin here. So I don't want Diamondback fans think that we're freaking out about him or jumping off the ship or anything like that. We're just talking about it. Okay. That being said, there were a couple things about last night. You mentioned one of them. Fastball velocity was down. It was down a couple 3 miles per hour than what we're accustomed to. You mentioned another one, location, in particular with the slider. Think about what allowed Patrick Corbin to get off to that brilliant start this year.
Slider, it was that slider. Was unhittable.
That slider was nasty.
Unhittable.
Rick Shue, the Giants hitting coach, said it was the best he had seen since Steve Carlton. Wasn't that what he said?
Was it Steve Carlton?
I believe it was Steve Carlton. And wow. Randy Johnson kind of said, hey, hold my beer. Let me show you my slider. But it was really, really good. And if you look at it, and Zach Buchanan, who covers the team for The Athletic, who does such a good job, we're actually going to have him on the show today at 2:30, took like a strike zone, right? And it showed all of the pitches that Patrick Corbin has thrown so far this year and where they ended up in the strike zone. Early on in the season, his slider was perfectly located at the bottom lower corner of the strike zone inside to a right-handed hitter, right where you'd want it to be if you're a lefty. And he was consistently hitting that spot again and again and again. If you look at his strike zone from last night, he couldn't get that slider in the strike zone to save his
zone. And then he lost it.
And then the third thing that happened last night, that's the third time that Patrick Corbin faced the LA Dodgers. So maybe there's a little bit of familiarity. Maybe there's a little Zach Godley, same thing. He's pitched against the Dodgers four times this year.
Right.
Okay, so you see a guy again and again and again, you're going to get a feel for how he works.
The good news is, man, they're not going to play them till the end of August. The next time they play the Dodgers, we're talking about the end of August. So they're not going to play them for a while. So that's the good news. You know, another thing last night, I mean, you know, the bullpen. I mean, that is as I don't want to say bad, but as much as he labored, as much as Corbin labored and struggled in that game, they're still in the eighth inning. De La Rosa walks Barnes, gives up a single, a Puig, and then Utley, a pinch hitter, a lefty on lefty. He gets him 0-1, 0-2, made him look stupid on the first two pitches. And then he laces a double in the gap on an 0-2 pitch. I mean, 0-2 pitch. I don't even want that anywhere near the plate. Make the guy, you know, make him swing at something bad. Utley hits a two-run double, and then, you know, a 4-3 game turns into a 6-3 game, and that was the ball game right there.
Yeah, the bullpen, I did not do well. Bottom of the sixth, that was another issue with the bullpen as well, with Fernando Salas chafing
Salas
with the
was
walk.
Terrible. Yeah.
Bracho was all over the place, a hit by pitch, a wild pitch, scored a run. He was a mess when he came in. Back to Patrick Corbin, he talked about facing LA so much that they know him very well.
Back-to-back games versus them, I mean, I think third time this season. I mean, they know what I'm going to do, and you just kind of got to, you still have to go out there, execute, and they did a better job today at that.
I mean, think about it. There's a reason in spring training why managers will hold their pitchers out against division teams, right?
Sure.
There's a reason why Patrick Corbin will go throw on the backfields in the middle of March than start against the Dodgers. He doesn't, you know, don't want to give the Dodgers a free look, right?
I'm buying that. Look, they're 3-3 in their last six against the Dodgers. So LA is starting to get healthy. They're starting to get guys back. And now, you know, they played 12 games against them. And in the beginning, they were kicking their butts. But now it's 3-3. I mean, they're 3-3. Now, for the Dodgers, they needed to do better than that because they're still eight games back. But you know, you were looking at if you win that game, you got a 10-game lead over L.A. Now you've got an 8-game lead over L.A. You know, Godley has struggled a little bit, hasn't pitched as well. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been great. And that's the thing you want. You want to be carried by your pitching. You want to be carried by your bullpen. Goldie got an RBI last night, first time since April 21st, so he finally drove in a run.
5 days before the Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen.
Right, it was the last time he had an RBI. So he got the RBI last night. I think that's good news for Goldie. But this team is going to win with pitching and defense and their bullpen. And, yeah, I mean, you got no Robbie Ray right now. You got no Taijuan Walker. You need to rely on you know, we want Patrick Corbin to be great every 5 days, but that may not be the case. Last night was just it was just one of those days. He labored. He couldn't find the strike zone. He didn't pitch very well.
Yeah. No, it was. And that's why it's too early to say panic. It's too early to say trouble. It's too early to say concern. He wasn't great. I'll tell you this, and we talked about this a lot when Corbin was off to that great start. I would rather him pitch like he did the first month of the season and be dominant and have the consistent conversations worrying about whether we're going to lose him in the offseason than the version we got last night.
Yes.
You know, I'd rather have that guy who's firing one hitters and striking out 12 and walking only one guy over seven innings than the guy that I saw last night, even if I'm going to lose the guy that I saw a couple starts ago
in free agency. I mean, it's just this season, there's too much writing on this season and this window and this opportunity the Diamondbacks have. I don't want to see Patrick Corbin pitch mediocre so it increases the chance that the Diamondbacks can keep him. That's counterproductive.
I'll
I don't
tell you
want
what,
that.
Though. I am glad we're not going to see the Dodgers for a while now. I'm kind of getting tired of them. I'm kind of getting tired of watching. I mean, like, I know their entire lineup by heart, and that's not, you know, like, literally, we have seen them so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, we know that whole lineup, Kiki Hernandez and Grandal and Bellinger and Jock Peterson. I mean, we know that whole damn line. I'm tired of seeing the Dodgers. Let's see somebody else.
Troy Lovello last night on Fox Sports Arizona chimed in on Patrick Corbin's decreased velocity.
Well, it seemed like there's a certain part of the game where it dropped a little bit. We were noticing that, but I'm just trusting the readings from the stadium here, and I'm sure they're fairly accurate. So I was satisfied with the velo early based on what I was watching, and then I just think he got a little fatigued, and obviously it dropped off, but he pitched and got us through the outing. That's what I'll focus on.
Called it not a typical Corbin outing.
It wasn't a typical Patrick outing. I know that the last inning, last two innings, the fourth and the fifth inning, he was having to work to get through those innings. But he did a really nice job of keeping us in the game. And true to Patrick Corbin form, he got out of the inning, kept the game at 1-1, and gave us a chance to possibly win the game. So I thought overall it was an outstanding job of him not having his best stuff and getting through the outing.
I'm with you, though. You know what? I never thought I'd say this.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bored with the Dodgers.
I'm tired of the Dodgers.
I'm just kind of bored with them. I've seen a lot of them early in the season. I want a little variety.
You can name every relief pitcher on the Dodgers staff because you've seen them so many times. It's time to move on to a new team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little bored with them.
Nationals tonight.
Yes. Zach Greinke. In fact, they get Scherzer tomorrow, Strasburg on Saturday.
It's Rourke tonight
against Greinke.
Scherzer, Strasburg, and the former D-back skipper Chip Hale is the bench coach on the Washington Nationals.
Oh, wow.
So Chip Hale returns.
Oh, cool.
Former D-back skipper. Genuinely a good guy.
He didn't have his team bat out of order. Oh, that was the Mets.
That was the Mets had the team bat out of order. What the Nationals did was against the Diamondbacks. They went out there and they made a pitching change.
Without the guy getting announced.
Announced, and Lovell was like, "I'll just keep him in."
Come on, Chip. Come on, Chip. You'd be better than that. Come on,
Dyson. I think it was big mistake.
Join Aaron Maloney and Arizona Sports this Saturday at Volkswagen North Scottsdale
from
11 until 1, giving away D-backs tickets, 311, and the Offspring tickets, and much more. Plus,
giving away tickets at 311 exactly.
They're there from 11 to 1. So
well, then,
no.
How could they give away tickets at 311?
For 311, not at 311.
Oh,
for the group 311.
Oh, the 3 minute.
Yeah, you should Spotify them.
311.
Add them to your Spotify. They'll also be hosting an Adopt a Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue and an on-site food truck. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for details.
I love food trucks.
Ryan McDonough has promised big things this offseason. Maybe we now know who those big things are. That's next on the Burns.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool, or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text Carpool to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Gambo Show. Enamored. Very strong word. Gambo is enamored with the sound of his own voice when singing songs by
My Heart Is in Havana.
Despite everybody on social media asking you to stop singing.
No. I haven't had one person ask me to stop singing.
Really?
Not one.
Everyone here at the station says, please stop.
Let's see. No more Gambo singing. LOL from Alicia Leggett. She just tweeted you at Gambo 987. So
I found a new song that I like. Why can't I be excited? I found a new song. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. You can be excited. You can just kind of keep it to yourself, you know? Rather than sing out
loud. I can hum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could. Clint Capela is someone the Suns are enamored with.
You know, this is amazing. We've been,
according to a report.
This 2 months ago, people so far behind. 2 months ago, we said there's two targets that the Suns are going to go after in restricted free agency. Remember who the two guys were?
It was Capela and Aaron Gordon.
Right. For 2 months, we've been saying this. And now, shocking news. 2 months ago, we told you they wanted Capela or Aaron Gordon. Those are the two guys. And maybe Jabari Parker if he clears his medical. So there are three guys that are that you can get that are restricted free agents that they're going to target. One is, of course, Clint Capela. The other is Aaron Gordon. And the third one, if he's healthy enough is Jabari Parker. Those are the guys we've been talking about for months. We've been talking about those guys. Capella makes a lot of sense, but it's going to be very hard to get him. I understand the knee. Look, he looks unbelievable. He'd be a perfect fit on this team. A guy that can protect the rim and defend and rebound and runs the court well and doesn't need the ball in his hands. I mean, who wouldn't want a guy like that on their team? Which brings you to the point, why the hell would Houston get rid of him? Why would they get rid of him?
The only reason would be if they can't afford him. And I'm not aware of the Houston Rockets cap situation. I don't know how much money they have. I don't know how far they can go over the cap. I need to do a little more research into that. That'd be the only reason why they wouldn't want to keep him, is that they can't afford him. Is that the contract, and then that, you know, in this game of tennis, if you will, that would put the ball back onto the side of the court of the Phoenix Suns. Are you willing to make Clint Capella such a massive overpaying type offer to guarantee you that Houston's not going to match it, right? Are you so enamored with Clint Capella that you're willing to overpay him to at least give yourself a fighting shot that Houston won't match the offer? That's what this really all boils down to, because you're right. Houston, on the surface, why wouldn't they want to keep Clint Capella, especially if they win a championship with Clint Capella? And he's a vital cog to what they do, because he's a rim-protecting big in a lineup filled with 3-and-D guys and James Harden and Chris Paul. Of course they're going to want to keep him. If you're the Suns, you have to make him an offer that keeps him out of reach for Houston. Are you willing to do that?
I don't think there is an offer that keeps him out of reach. I think they match the offer. I mean, he's in his fourth season. He's a center. He averages 14.5 points and 12.2 rebounds and almost 3 blocks a game. He's 23 years old. He's a defensive anchor. I mean, they used the first round draft pick on him. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. And if somebody offers him the money, I mean, do you really think Houston's going to be like, oh, okay, we can't afford that, we're going to let him go? I mean, even though they got Chris Paul and they got James Harden, that owner's filthy rich and they want to win a championship. So I personally don't think that they can get him. I think it would be really hard. Now, you got to remember this. I mean, they certainly wouldn't let him walk for free. They could do a sign and trade, but that, like, okay, if LeBron wants to go to Houston, you could probably work out like a sign and trade to get LeBron to Houston. Is Houston going to look at an offer made by another team like the Suns and say, oh, we can't match that? Okay, you can just go there for free. Hell no. Hell no.
Well, it's just a question if they can't, you know? I mean, if the cap space doesn't allow them to be able to do it. But I just found the story, and this is back in November, so it was at the start of the NBA season. So this is long before Capella played as well as he did. Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, basically said, Capella will be back in Houston for a major pay raise. Quote, we'll have him here as long as he'll have us. He could not price himself out, close quote. Without hesitation, Morey says he considers re-signing Capella worth the cost.
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to be available.
Sure. They'll pay the price, whatever that price may be, in luxury tax and things like that, to make sure he stays. It's the Suns are going to have to work out trades.
I agree. It's going to have to be trades.
I don't know that you could get a guy like Capella. I mean, Their record when Capella and Harden and Chris Paul all play together is 50-5. 50 wins and 5 losses when Capella, Paul, and Harden play together. Again, it sounds nice. It would be unbelievable, but to think that the Suns can make an offer and the Rockets don't match it is just kind of foolish. It's not going to happen.
That's going to be the game the Suns are going to play all summer long, and I'll be curious to see if they're willing to play it, because a lot of the guys that we're talking about, restricted.
Do you think they should at least try? I mean,
I think they need to read the tea leaves and find out if Houston is financially committed to keeping Clint Capella around, and if they are, they should not try.
They might have to get rid of Ryan Anderson, maybe give up a first-round pick to get somebody to take him. I think Ariza is a free agent. He'll come off the books. They might have to move a player or two to make sure that they could fit him in, but you know, you do that. I mean, sometimes that's what you have to do. They might have to give up a first-round pick to get somebody to take a player like Ryan Anderson.
I don't want the Suns sitting around for 3 days waiting for Houston to match an offer that they all know they're going to match. That's a waste of time, right? You kind of have to be able to read the tea leaves if you're the Suns and know that if you make that offer, is it going to get matched? Because if it is, you're just wasting your time for 3 days.
But how do you know?
Well, you back channels, rumors, GMs talk, people talk. You know, Daryl Morey is on the record saying he's going to keep him no matter what. You know, so you just kind of have to read. Jabari Parker is the interesting one to me, because I don't know if the Bucks would necessarily keep him. with all the injuries that he's had, but he's a huge risk to sign as well. You're right, though.
The Suns did that with the player a few years ago. We'll match any offer, don't sign him. I can't remember what player it was.
It was
the Suns had a player.
It was Bledsoe.
Was it Bledsoe?
Yeah, it was Eric Bledsoe. Don't touch him. We're gonna
sign him.
We're gonna sign him. Don't bother.
Don't even try to make him an offer. We're gonna sign him.
Almost positive it was Eric Bledsoe.
It was a player within the last few years. The Suns kind of let it out. Hey, we're gonna keep him.
Don't even bother.
Don't
even
bother.
Try.
We're gonna keep him.
Yep. And they were trying to. I'm 90% sure it was Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, I found a story from February 2014. Lon Babby says team will match any offer for Eric Bledsoe.
That's what it was. It was Bledsoe. I remember it. You go out there and you tell everybody, hey. And did anybody make Bledsoe an offer?
No. No, they effectively killed the market for Eric Bledsoe.
And that's what's going to happen in Houston, too. We're going to match any offer. We're not losing this guy. We'll do it. We're not going to lose one of the most important pieces of our team. So I think it'll be, listen, this is not news. We've been talking about the Suns wanting Capella for 2 months. Other people are just picking up on it now. And the Suns want Capella, Aaron Gordon, and possibly Jabari Parker if he passes physical as guys they like in restricted free agency.
Trades are the way. It's the way.
Yeah,
it's the only way to know for sure you can get a guy. Yeah. Restricted free agency is a gigantic risk, especially for major assets like Aaron Gordon and Clint Capella.
Right. Teams aren't going to let those guys go for nothing.
No.
I mean, that's just stupid. That's bad business.
He has been the best Diamondback starter this season, but are there reasons to be concerned about Patrick Corbin? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo.
Want to win 10 grand towards the purchase of a car or pool, or just pocket the cash? Arizona's number one Ford dealer, Sanderson Ford, and Arizona's number one pool builder, Presidential Pools, are teaming up for the 10K Carpool Giveaway. Just text Carpool to 620-620 or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
Gambo Show. John Gambador, Dave Burns, live from the Auction Community Studios. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on this Thursday afternoon. Diamondbacks are back home and finally, mercifully, done with the LA Dodgers until the kids go back to school, right?
Isn't that end of August?
August 30th, I think, is the next 30th. Time. Ah, man, that's good. I'm just kind of bored with them right now. Joining us right now to talk a little Diamondback baseball, and I was just walking by our control room and overheard Jordan Bird, our producer, on the phone with Zach Buchanan from The Athletic, telling him what a nice addition he's been to those who cover the Diamondbacks on a daily basis. His stuff on The Athletic is very, very good. He covers that team very in an in-depth fashion. And joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line from The Athletic, Zach Buchanan. Here on the Burns and Gambo Show. How you doing, Zach?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, good. Really appreciate, really enjoyed your story on Patrick Corbin this morning because it was not a red flag yet, but the seeds are being planted for what could be a red flag about Patrick Corbin somewhere down the stretch, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think the velocity obviously stands out. I mean, his last start of April against the Nationals in D.C., he was averaging 93 miles per hour on his fastball. He's been sitting kind of 88, 89 the last two times out against the Dodgers. That's concerning. Usually a drop of about a mile or something like that, a mile an hour, not a huge concern, but that's a pretty steep drop-off for Corbin right now. He says he feels fine. I'm not sure he would tell us if he was feeling something. But it's certainly something to pay attention to. Maybe it's just a dead arm period and it starts climbing back up. Whatever Robbie Ray was dealing with before his oblique injury, he started to regain some velocity. But throwing 88, 89, his last fastball last night was at 87. That's a big concern for me, even though he's been able to kind of wriggle off the hook a few times and not give up many runs.
See, this is information you're not going to get from Steve Gilbert right here. I mean, this is information. You can't get this type of information from Steve Gilbert.
You were just sitting on a changeup. You knew it was coming.
Right there,
and you were just waiting to jump all over that changeup, weren't you?
It's good stuff right there.
Poor Steve Gilbert.
You know, Zach, you think this is a big year for Corbin. It's free agency. We're talking about a gigantic contract for him if he pitches well. There was talk about 10 days ago about the Yankees, and he talked about the Yankees, and we know they had some interest in him in the offseason. Do you think there's any mental aspect to what's going on right now with Corbin with the looming free agency?
No, I'm not sure that's a factor for him. I mean, specifically with that Yankee stuff, our eyebrows all kind of raised when we saw those quotes because it's very unlike Corbin to say anything, honestly, very interesting. and We all kind of thought that, oh, I don't think he realized how that was going to come across. You know, he was just saying, well, I grew up there. Of course, you know, I grew up a Yankees fan, et cetera. And it, of course, came across a little more, I don't know, I guess maybe again the word is interesting than he probably intended it to be. I think he's just a naturally a guy that does not really think beyond the moment when it comes to his pitching and doesn't seem to put much extra pressure on himself. He seems pretty level-headed in that sense. So I don't think that he'd be putting a lot of extra pressure on himself right now, especially this early in the season. That Yankee stuff was, he waded into a little more controversy than he was probably ready for. He seemed a little confused by it the next day when we talked to him, just to make sure he wasn't trying to, you know, put up some billboard material and send a message to the organization.
Yeah, I thought the good news, if you want to take good news, he lost the strike zone last night. So now I think if anybody didn't watch the game, if you didn't watch the game, you just look at the box score, you're like, okay, Corbin was fine. He was his typical self, but you don't realize how many times he was 3-2, the fourth inning, the fifth inning. But in both of those innings, I mean, he was able to get himself out of trouble. I mean, he was able to strike out Bellinger, although the fastball was only 89 miles per hour. He did strike him out. And then he got Barnes to strike out after the wild pitch. That was in the fourth. And in the fifth, you know, he was in a boatload of trouble, but he got Kiki to fly out and he got Kemp to ground out. So I do like the fact that he was able to tough it out and make some pitches that mattered, even though he didn't have his best stuff.
Yeah, that is good. Although after the game, he kind of admitted that he got lucky in some of those situations. Another thing to pay attention to with him is his slider. That's kind of what I wrote about a little bit today. The first month plus of the season from March through April, I mean, every time he threw that slider, a third of the time someone would swing and miss at it. And he's faithful. The Dodgers the last two times out, and they have really not offered that pitch much at all. It's gone from 33% of a swing rate or swing and miss rate to 16%. A lot of that is location issues with him. He's leaving it up more, or he's yanking it more, or bouncing it probably too much in a lot of situations where it's just not an enticing pitch and never looks like a strike. And some of that may just be familiarity with the Dodgers that they've faced him three times now and know what he's going to do. That pitch is his bread and butter. There could be a world where he gets by throwing 89 miles per hour, but if the slider's not right, he's going to have trouble.
Zach Buchanan from The Athletic. He covers the Arizona Diamondbacks. Our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. Diamondbacks are back home taking on the Washington Nationals tonight. On the surface, and we spent most of this time talking about Patrick Corbin. On the surface, there's not a lot to be worried about. They've got the best record in the National League, one of the best records in Major League Baseball. They've got the third best run differential in the National League. But you cover this team every single day. You write about this team every single day. What would concern you, if that's the word you want to use, about the Arizona Diamondbacks right now through 36 games of this season?
If I'm kind of projecting forward to what could become an issue, it's got to be rotation depth, at least until Robbie Ray and Shelby Miller are back. I don't really have a good grasp on what they're going to do Saturday when that empty spot in rotation comes up. And really right now, there aren't any super appealing options there. It says something. I mean, TJ McFarland has pitched very well in his role, but it says something when you need a start from somebody and maybe your long man's the most appealing option as opposed to someone from AAA who is pitching well. And there aren't a lot of guys in AAA who are pitching well. So that would be the biggest issue for me, because you look at what's going on with Corbin and you think if he's going to be throwing like this now, how long can he keep that up? You really wonder about how long Matt Cook is going to be this good, considering he's had a lot of good luck when it comes to balls being put in play that he might not be able to keep up. I think you feel fine about Zach Greinke. And then Zach Eile's been real up and down the last month or so and hasn't quite looked as locked in as he did last season. And so, I mean, there's some vulnerabilities there that if stuff starts swinging the wrong way, suddenly what has been a great strength for this team can maybe become a bit of a liability. So that's what I would be concerned about if I was the Diamondbacks. I wouldn't worry too much about the offense. Paul Goldschmidt, I think, is going to be fine. But the pitching may not hold up forever.
The thing that worries me about Goldschmidt is just the amount of strikeouts. I mean, he's not a 200-strikeout guy. He's 145, 150. He's on pace for 215, somewhere around there. So that does scare me, the high amount of strikeouts. I am curious to see if Clay Buchholz can help them in any way as a rotation depth guy, because I agree with you. They don't really have anything in the minors that they really like. So if you tried Medlin the other day, that was a disaster against the Astros. Buchholz has pitched one game for them. He was okay. It'd be interesting to see how he goes, because at least with him, you've got a veteran who knows how to pitch.
Yeah, obviously they didn't sign the guy thinking he's only going to pitch AAA. That's not a guarantee that he'll get called up. I mean, if he's down in AAA getting his teeth kicked in every 5 days, he's probably not an option for this team. But if they felt good about their depth down there, they probably don't go sign Clay Buchholz. I would think that they want to see him get on a bit of a run before they would think of him as a solution up here. When they signed him, maybe it was yesterday, assistant GM Jared Porter said that he's just like anybody else we have in AAA. It's AAA depth. He's not option 1A or anything like that. So I wouldn't expect him to see him on Saturday. That would surprise me. He's there for a reason. If they feel good about Taylor Clark and Braden Shipley and all those guys, and I suppose the equation's kind of changed with Shipley needing a cortisone shot in his elbow, Clay Buchholz would be a free agent. So,
Zach Buchanan from The Athletic here, our guest on the Burns and Gambo Show. My last question is about the bullpen and the way it's been used so far. Is there a concern or a question that once you get past, I mean, TJ McFarland's kind of in his own category, but once you get past the top three guys in that bullpen, that it's a little bit of reliever roulette down there when you're not quite sure what you're going to get on a nightly basis from anybody else?
That's exactly how I feel about it. And you look at kind of just the raw numbers for all of these guys. I mean, before he came in last night, Jorge De La Rosa had a 150 ERA. I mean, that's obviously nothing to sneeze at. There have been a few games now where the top guys haven't been available, or a situation like last night where it's a close game, but the Diamondbacks are down and they go to those kind of bottom four guys and they give up runs. Chafin in particular right now seems to be unable to find the strike zone. It's three straight outings he's come in and failed to record an out now. And then Salas has come in a few big situations and given up hits. Jorge De La Rosa had that situation a couple games ago where he, threw let a run in on a wild pitch and just really just didn't look very sharp. So I would think it's a concern. And with a guy like Jimmy Sherfy pitching really well in AAA, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw him up here at some point. I don't know who you sacrificed in that situation to get him up here. If we're assuming that Silvino Bracho are already going to go back down to AAA, that's kind of been his lot in life anyway. That kind of soft underbelly of the bullpen, a lot of these guys are performing it. Their numbers are such a level that they've never really sustained over a full season, so you kind of wait for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. You can read his stuff on theathletic.com. His name is Zach Buchanan. He covers the Diamondbacks every single day for that website. Does a really good job doing it. Zach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Got it. Zach Buchanan on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Steve Keim has struck gold with many draft picks, but there is an entire class that is on the verge of potential failure. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, let's check in. What I got? The Nashville Predators today?
Game 7.
Oh, it's tonight game.
Game 7.
Winner
advances to take on the Knights.
I haven't been able to get into any of it.
I used to
be such a big fan.
What happened to you?
I've been in the Coyotes, haven't made the playoffs since I was a young man. And the Islanders suck. And I think I was 30 the last time the Coyotes made the playoffs, and the Islanders last time they won a Stanley Cup. I was in high school. I used to be such a big. I played in leagues out here for 10 years. I played in ice hockey leagues. I'm not as big a fan as I used to be.
So while Maloney is rocking the Nashville Predators shirt, she also is coming up with our poll question of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. What you got for us today?
I have two. So the first one I have: what concerns you the most with the D-backs right now? 37% say Paul Goldschmidt's slump. 31% say the offense as a whole. 27% say the fifth rotation spot slash the bullpen being overworked.
It's all pretty even.
5% Corbin's lower velocity.
Except for that. Everybody's worried. Yeah, but Corbin.
If two more starts from now, Patrick Corbin is still sitting where he was sitting last time,
then
we'll worry about that a little bit.
Then we'll reassess.
Time to worry about that a little bit more. If I were picking one out of those, it'd be the bullpen starting pitching. I mean, who that fifth starter, and just, man, if it's not Hirano, if it's not Bradley, if it's not Boxberger, I've got some trust issues with the other guys in that bullpen, including Andrew Chafin.
I'm going to say something about offense just really quick. Like, the Yankees are killing it right now, right? They've won 17 out of 18 games.
Yeah.
Right? Their offense, they got a lot of guys that aren't hitting. I mean, Brett Gardner, 214. Gary Sanchez, 205. Giancarlo Stanton, 237. Hicks, 225. There's a lot of good teams in baseball that don't have...
That aren't mashing right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're scoring a lot of runs, but they're just doing it in different ways by getting walks.
That's a good point. There was something that happened yesterday, and we didn't mean to skate over it. I don't even know if we did skate over it necessarily. We just didn't mention it. But the Cardinals yesterday in a press release announced that they had released safety Harlan Miller. And in the process, it's got to be mentioned that he is now the third member of the 2016 draft class who's no longer on this team. Now, the other guys who aren't on this team from the 2016 draft class, it's not like you're missing out on Cole Toner or Marquis Christian, right?
No.
Okay, the three guys that are left are Robert Kimdichie, Brandon Williams, and Evan Boehm. But again, the three guys that are left are Robert Kimdichie, Brandon Williams, and Evan Boehm. You've got half of that draft class is no longer here with the team, and the other half, let's be honest, are all kind of in the same boat. You got 1 year to show us something really, really good. And you might be out the door too. I mean, right? Am I misreading the putt Harlan with those
Miller,
guys?
Harlan Miller was, I mean, what, a sixth round pick?
Yes.
I mean, those guys, they're long shots.
Marquis Christian and Cole Toner were fifth rounders. And that's why I'm not overly obsessed with the back end of that draft not working out. It's the back end of a draft. It happens. But I'm obsessing. It causes you, though, to look at the 2016 draft and go, man,
right.
Robert Kimdichie, you're kind of up against it this year. Brandon Williams, I know you're up against it this year. Evan Boehm, I think they just went out and drafted your clone in Mason Cole this year. What are you going to do to stay on this roster?
I read something about how Boehm's not even going to get a shot this year. It'll be next year because then Shipley's a free agent. So then he may get his shot next year. If Cole ends up playing guard, then Boehm could play center next year, but he wouldn't play center this year. So I think that, I think it's going to be hard for Boehm to earn a lot of playing time without an injury this season. But you're right. I mean, Harlan Miller hasn't been. Now, here's the thing on Harlan Miller. Cutting Harlan Miller leaves you with a big, gigantic hole at safety. Like, they need to add a safety. Wouldn't you agree?
I would totally agree.
They need to add a safety. Now, I can give you some news. You ready?
Yes, please do.
The Cardinals are interested in three safeties that are free agents. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the three guys they're interested in: Kenny Vaccaro, who got released from the Saints, Eric Reed from the 49ers, and then Trey Boston from Carolina. Trey Boston, Eric Reed, and Kenny Vaccaro are all players that the Cardinals have some interest in. But will all depend on the price coming down because all of those guys want to get paid a little bit of money right now. And that's not something that, you know, if I've told you for a while now, the Cardinals, if they're going to get a guy, it's going to be on the cheap. So I would expect that they'll go after, you know, they'll see which one of those guys is willing to take a lower end deal. But I do think that they will add a safety. So Vaccaro, Reed, and Boston are all on the Cardinals' radar to add another safety to the mix.
Now, Eric Reed is the interesting one because
are in some way.
Yeah, they are. In fact, in many ways, there's the reason all three could be available is because of the protest issue. Certainly with Reed, he kneeled with Colin Kaepernick. Boston, when he was with the Panthers, tried to organize a team protest following the shooting death of a citizen by a Charlotte police officer. Vaccaro has remained quiet about the lack of interest in his services. I wonder how much of the lack of interest in those three guys is protest related and how much of the lack of interest in those three guys is they're asking for too much money
too
and
much
the
money.
League is waiting for their services to come down.
I can tell you right now, it's too much money. They're waiting for the price to come down. Right now, the price is too high. These guys all, you know, these guys all want to get paid. You know, Vaccaro was a first round pick, so he wants to get paid. These guys want to get paid. So when the price comes down and they get more reasonable, then the Cardinals could sign one of these guys. I don't think they're the protest. Look, they're interested in each of those players. So obviously the protesting is not something that's preventing them from having interest, because if it was, then they wouldn't be interested. But I'm telling you, the Cardinals are kicking the tires on all three of those because they know they need to add a veteran safety. They know they have to add one.
Yeah, I'd be, look, this is the time of year, and not that Steve Keim doesn't do good work during the draft, but let's be honest. I think the thing that has made Steve Keim truly special at his job is his ability this time of year to find guys who end up contributing to the roster in September and October, right? I mean, he's Keim time specials, whether it's training camp, whether it's halfway through training camp, whether it's in the middle of June, his ability to kind of sweat out some of these guys and wait them out a little bit until their price comes down and then add them is what makes Steve Keim, I think, really, really good at his job. That being said, I think there are two positions, maybe three, where I'm expecting a bunch of Keim time type specials. Safety is one, tight for end. All the reasons we just pointed out. Tight end is another. I look at that roster, and I just don't know who their tight end is going to be.
Mercedes Lewis?
With the maybe he's out there. He's out there. And then the third is wide receiver. As a position where, depending on what's in the market, depending
Jeremy
on...
Jeremy Maclin, Dez Bryant.
Right. Dez probably not so much, but Macklin's an intriguing name. Those are guys that are probably expecting to get paid more money than the market so far is giving them. And those are exactly right. The guys that Steve Keim targets.
Now, that's why you might wait this thing out for months. And once these guys realize that there's no money coming,
sure,
then they jump at a deal and just try to play it on a one-year prove-it deal. Like, Trey Boston's not an old player. He's young. So he may, I want to stay in the league. I got to play somewhere. This is a good opportunity. You may get some chances to play here. But I can tell you with certainty that the Cardinals are kicking the tires and have interest in all three of those safeties I just mentioned.
Here's Adam Schefter on Reed earlier today.
Rick Reed's case will follow along the lines of what Colin Kaepernick is doing. And what Kaepernick has done that is or isn't successful is something that Reed will try to duplicate. Look, it's a copycat league, right? We hear it all the time. Well, it's a copycat courtroom here. And we're going to see Eric Reed, I think, try to do some of the same things that Colin Kaepernick has done.
In terms of a collusion case against the National Football
right.
League. And again, I think you'd be naive to think that that's not going to somehow impact what teams are interested in him this offseason, because it certainly impacted Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I know. But I am telling you that it's not like they're not interested in Reed.
Yeah.
You know, they are interested in him. Its price just has to come down.
The Diamondbacks are free to look for a new stadium location. How far into that process are they when it comes to their new home? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.